我们来读几处圣经。
Let's read a couple of passages.
希伯来书十一章
Hebrews chapter 11,
十三节到十六节
13-16.
大家翻到没有？翻到一起来读。
Together. Or this died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth.
是客旅寄居的。
For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own.And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them.
Verse 39-40.
And all this, having gained approval through the faith, you now receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Old Testament, 1 Samuel.
撒母耳上25章
First Samuel chapter 25,
25章40节到42节
40-42. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, he spoke to her, saying, David has sent us to you to take you as his wife. She arose and bowed with her face on the ground and said, Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my lord's servants.Then Abigail quickly arose and rode on a donkey, and with her five maidens who attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife.
30章七到十节
Chapter 30, 7-10. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David.David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue this man? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, whose those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, remained behind.16-20. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that Amalek had taken.And rescued his two wives. But nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all of the sheep and the cattle which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, This is David's spoil. Second Samuel chapter 6.1-8. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Valley Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on the new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and the lyre, harps, trumpets, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearby upset it, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for the inheritance, and he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and this place is called Peri-Uzzah to this day. Verse 11.
Chapter 9:15.
Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter in the Bible. It mentions all the great characters in the Old Testament. And it will spend about 2 to 3 verses on each one of these great characters. Now that is a revelation of the Spirit. For when you read the Old Testament, there are many passages about each one of these characters. But in the book of Hebrews, it only spends 2 to 3 verses on each one of them. And then we capture all these overcomers in one chapter. And all of these people are different. They have a different birth. They have a different personality. And they indeed have very different experience. But yet they all capture in this one chapter. Just like in the New Testament times. How we are from all the different parts of earth. And we are all totally different. But as children of God, we share 4 things in common. The first thing. That we have the same goal. All the saints are running toward the same goal. That we're running toward the city with foundation. And this city of foundation doesn't suddenly appear. In Hebrew, it says that this city is built and made by God. And today God is building and making you. And as brothers and sisters, we are the work of God. And this life we experience through many little things. But yet the work is done through our daily things. And all these little things combined will become a great thing. Today God is building and making. And until that day. So at the end of the Bible, it talked about the New Jerusalem. It's not really a city. So that day, John said, "Now I point to you the bride of Christ." And what John really saw, the bride is the city. And this city describes the bride. Now it is on that day that the church becomes the bride. That all our old beings are now completely removed. Because God on that day will be completed making you. When we become this city. Now, this city indeed describes one person. The person who is the bride of Christ. So today we are all a part of this city. When we walk on this land, we share the same goal. Now, what is this goal? Now, maybe we have very different other goals, earthly goals. But in God, we have one goal. That we would walk toward the same city. So today we have to treasure the work that God has on us. That through our daily things, we obey. Not only we share the same goal, we have the same commission. When we walk on this land, we have the same commission. Now, if a person is successful, he must have many missions. Now, when we walk on this land, we care about something. We care about why do we live on this land. When Jesus was on earth, he said, however God sends me, the Father sends
me.
However the Father sends me, the same I send you out. Now, before we believe in God, the life was meaningless. And after we believe in God, we now have something to care about. It is our Lord who sent us out. And when he sent us with a commission. He sent us with his own commission. That when we walk on this world, now we have something
to do.
Our goal is to reveal God in us. When we walk on this land, we reveal the Son of God. So that we will walk into different corners of this world to reveal God's Son. So today, what is your role? Your role is to manifest God's Son. You can manifest Him at your workplace. You could reveal Him in any circumstances. When we walk on this land, we share the same commission. Now, the third thing we have in common is that we have the same home. For all the overcomers, we look at the same home. A heavenly, better home. So that's why we are sojourners as foreigners on this land. Because we have a home that we want to return to. That we will return to a better country. The same home that we share. And lastly, we have the same assurance. At the end of Hebrews chapter 11, that all these people have assurance through faith. Now we're walking with proof and assurance. Now, it's not because I have nothing else to do, that's why I become a minister. But we walk on this land, we walk with an assurance. What is this assurance? The Holy Spirit is our assurance. Now, a lot of you have experienced the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is your inner God. And the Holy Spirit is the subjective side of God. That it is an experienced God. A spirit is also a God that you can experience. Who you can touch and who you can receive. So when we walk on this path, we walk on a solid path. Now I've walked this path for 67 years. And step by step, I walk with assurance. Now the assurance is the Holy Spirit. Now the assurance is the life of God. Now our life and the Holy Spirit is one thing. That God has given us eternal life. So I say that everyone has a different face. Everyone has a different, slightly different personality. And in America, it's great that everyone speaks English. But if you go into China, they have all these different dialects. Now, you won't understand the other dialects. But when I go to China to visit the church, I tell you that everyone in the church is the same. All the children of God, when they manifest their life, they are the same. They share the same life. They share the same work. And they have the same goal. The same commission. They share the same home. And we share the same assurance. That the Holy Spirit is our proof. So have you registered for the summer conference? Now I ask you to come. Because there's a night that we will share the Holy Spirit. And we can all share the joy. A joy that can overtake you. Now, we always feel with sorrow, but is there a time we're filled with joy? Now, when a brother is filled by the Spirit, now he's filled completely with joy. There was a time when I was in Vancouver. The Holy Spirit came up on us. And a brother started yelling. And he said, "Oh Lord, that's enough, that's enough." He is so filled of joy that he has enough. Then I took him aside to the corner so that he could continue his joy. Brothers and sisters, what we can experience is the great salvation. And each step is a solid proof that we share the same assurance. Now, do you have it? Now, the brothers and sisters in St. Gabriel, you never respond. Do you have their assurance? Do you have it? Then when you walk this path, you walk with strength. So that's why you have to come to our meeting on time. And the more assurance you have, the earlier you would come. And you would sit in the front. One time there was two younger ones that were sitting in the front. And then I said, since it's the little children that sat in front, I will have a children ministry. Because all the adults in the back. That we share the same assurance. Now, do you have these four things in common? So with these four things, we become brothers and sisters. Now, we're not just calling each other with names. It is because we have the same Father. And it is from this Heavenly Father we have the same life. We have the same goal. We have the same commission. Now we share the same home. And we have the same assurance. This assurance of things to hope for. Chapter 11 of Hebrew is precious. That we have now the assurance and conviction. That I have now a new life. And God has now given us this new life. Before I believed in God, I had a bad temper. And I had a really bad temper. And I was not afraid of nobody. Now, as a freshman in school, and at that time I did not believe in God. And then I got into two big fights. And I was wild. So there was a professor. And he's famous for being straight. Now there was a time in class, there was a student 2 rows in front of me. And he was naughty. And then the professor was so straight that wherever he was, everyone kept quiet. And that student turned around and he made a face to me. And I was angry because I thought, don't think that I won't do anything because of professors. If you make faces in front of me. And next time he turned around, he make a face again. And then I become very angry. And the third time he turned around and make a face. And then I grab someone's backpack and I hit him on it. And then everyone was alert. And then I sat there and said, professor, whatever you want to do, just do it. And then professor said, he didn't say anything to me, but he said it to the student in front of me. And said, what did you do to him? Why did you make him angry? And then this professor is wise. Because if the student didn't provoke me, I would not have done anything. But after I believe in God, when I was truly saved, I become a new person. And in the 67 years of believing in God, I don't remember throwing any tempers anymore. And I bring a lot of my classmates to become believers. The first group of people that believe. The person on my left, the person on my right, the person behind me, the person in front of me. These four people, they are with me every day. And they could see clearly how I changed. Now, when we believe in Jesus, we make people jealous. That after this person believed in Christ, he changed into a new person. And he could now manifest the smell of God. And that is a testimony. And this is the strength that now we behold. Now all Christians, we share the new life. Otherwise, how can we distinguish ourselves? Now, brothers and sisters, when you go home, do you throw tantrum? Do you throw tantrum? Do you throw tantrum? Yes. Now, when I say that when you throw a tantrum, it's not a small thing. When you throw a tantrum, that means that now you have failed. That when people see you, they no longer see God in you. Because at that time, you reveal your flesh. Now, where is our God? God is in you. If God is truly in you, then it makes sense that you can reveal Him through you. The same commission, the same assurance. So that's why Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter. Now this is our second talk of David. Because David has done many things. When David was just a shepherd boy, he was already anointed. And when Samuel, the prophets came to his house, and Samuel said, we are going to abolish Saul. And then he anointed David. But even though externally, Saul was still the king. And Saul is a ruthless king. Now after David was anointed by Samuel, He still act like a regular man. But now that he became a king, and he would have to think about how he can behave as a king, how Saul was so corrupted, how Saul was so ruthless, that God would now abolish
him,
and now David should be the new king. Oh, and then usually, if it's for a normal person, David would revolt. But yet, after even David was anointed, he acted like he didn't know. And he was still humble to Saul. And he would still love Saul the same. And throughout the whole country, now he's the only one that still respects Saul. Even though Saul is persecuting him. And all the sorrows and pain from David actually came from Saul. But yet David still chose to love Saul. One day Saul died in a battle.
And
all the David's followers are rejoicing that now King Saul finally died. But yet David was the only one that was still in sorrow. And he wrote a long psalm to remember Saul. And said, how would a great hero die like this? And that's why David is different. That he has a noble life. And that's the summary from last time. That David is a great politician. He is a great tactician at war. He is a great writer. And he wrote most of the Psalms. And today there is no one else that can write like David. He is a great musician. Now David has composed many pieces of music. It is someone who can compose music can be called a musician. And David is also a great vocalist. He can sing great songs. And in the Bible, it calls him a great singer. And how talented is David? But yet David is humble to Saul. And after Saul died, David spent a long time writing him a song. And finally, David became a king. And David built his city in Sion. And even till now, Sion is the famous place. And the song that we just sang is the glorious thing that I have said to Sion, city of God. And words cannot describe the glory of this city. But don't you think that the capital of Israel is in Jerusalem, isn't it? Why are we talking about Zion? And in fact, the capital of Israel is still in Jerusalem today. But I tell you that there is one thing between Jerusalem and Zion. There is a big difference between the two places. Now, Zion is a city within the city of Jerusalem. And Zion is located on top of a mountain. And this city is on top of this very tall mountain. And David's throne is in Zion. And David's palace is in Zion. Just like God's temple is in Zion. So that's why I tell you that Jerusalem and Zion are similar but also different. They are both representing church. Jerusalem is the physical appearance of the church. There are good things and bad things in it. There's bad things in this city too. But the city of Zion is the spiritual reality of church, the overcoming part of the church. When it mentions Zion, it always describes it with great things. So that's why Brother John Newton, who wrote this song, he is a great minister. And he is also a great writer. Because he knows the church. The great thing you have said, the city of Zion. That words cannot describe the glory of this city. And it is the rock with foundation. A rock that cannot be shaken by anyone. And the salvation is surrounding us like a wall. And until the end, we can smile at our foes. So how about we be people of this city? Not only people of Jerusalem. Not that we only have the physical appearance of a Christian. So that's why David put his city in Zion. To show that the sovereignty of God is on this city. That God's testimony is in this city. The center of worship is in this city. And that is what the church is supposed to be. in the whole Old Testament,
就三种人,
there are only three people, three types of people in the Old Testament. Kings,
一个是祭司,
priests,
第三是先知,
prophets.
这三种职分完全不一样的,
and these three people have different jobs.
大卫预表耶稣基督,
David represents Christ Jesus. And he has all three of these responsibilities. Of course he is a king.
我们今天就当做他做祭司做的事,
but today we talk about the work he has done as a priest.
打亚玛利人,
that he overtake the Ammonites. Now the Ammonites are the greatest enemy of the Israelites. Now the Ammonites are fierce. Now the meaning of Ammonite is that not only they would eat, but they would devour completely. When you fight the Amalekites, you will have nothing left. Last time when we talked about Joshua, we talked about how he fought against the Amalekites. Today we're going to talk how David conquered Ammonites. Now the Ammonites represents the power of our flesh. After we have believed in God, after we are baptized, the first enemy we have to face is ourselves. And one thing I realized, that in fact our greatest enemy is not outside, but our greatest enemy is ourselves. That in the whole lifetime you could overcome a lot of things around you, but at the end you think that you cannot overcome your own self. Now everyone is trying to equip themselves. And the successful people equip themselves the best. And we are educated as well. And then when we are being educated, we are equipping ourselves. That I want to become a somebody. But after we believe in God, we will remember the word that Jesus said. And that whoever follows me will have to deny himself. And will have to carry on their own cross and follow me. Now to deny yourselves means to reject yourself.
否认自己,
to reject and decline yourself. And that's the meaning of denying yourself.
这个微笑那个人,
now, as a small person, we can't even overcome our own self. So that's why now in us, there are two lives. And how we need to learn to reject our old life and follow our new life and to follow the lead of the new life. If we still follow our old life, we would end up in desolation. But if we follow the Spirit, then we could reveal the resurrected Christ. Now you see the difference between these two lives.
这个亚玛利人,
the Ammonites.
大卫攻打亚玛利人,
and David battled with the Ammonites.
又苏亚打亚玛利人,
and Joshua battled the Ammonites.
好,摩西在山上祷告,
when Joshua was battling them, he was relying on Moses.
又苏亚在前面率领着人民征战,
and Joshua would lead his enemy and fight in the battle front.
摩西预表升天基督,
but Moses represents the ascended Christ.
耶稣要预表内住的基督,
and Joshua represents the indwelling Christ.
靠着主在宝座为我们祷告,
it is through Christ who is praying on his throne.
靠着内住的圣灵在我们得胜,
and through the indwelling strength of the Spirit.
是大卫打亚玛利人,
but when David fought the Ammonites,
他一下站在祭司的身份上,
now David had to take on the position of a priest.
把祭司的衣服拿来,
and he says, bring me the ephod.
把祭司衣服拿就大了,
now the ephod of the priest is different.
祭司衣服有八件,
now there are many characteristics of this ephod.
最重要是外面的外袍,
now, if more importantly, there's a rope on the outside. And on the front of it, there's a breastplate. Now, this breastplate is square. And on it, there's 12 gems that had the name of the 12 tribes. And it has the characters of all the languages. And then in it, there are two different types of gems. The first one is Urim. The second one is Phanum. Now the meaning of Urim is light. And Phanum is perfection. So when you put these two together, it becomes the perfect light. Now the priest belongs to God. And when he put on this apron to pray, that the Urim Jim would light up. And it will shine and brighten up the alphabet that is on the breastplate. Now, how many alphabets letters are in English? 26 alphabets. Now, how many words can these 26 letters form? It could become countless words. But all the words are from these 26 characters, right? One day, Brother Spark came to China. And this brother come to China and he said, doesn't matter how many characters you have in Chinese, they are all made from these 26 alphabets. And everyone laughed. And Brother Spark was not happy. And then he repeated the same sentence. And he says, doesn't matter how many characters Chinese have, they are all made from A through Z. And then after the meeting, we reminded him that there is no A through C in Chinese. And in Chinese, all the different characters are different. But the Urim and Thummim does not necessarily light up. It depends on who is wearing the apron and praying. So that's why in the Bible there is a saying that says Urim and Thummim will light up when it is in a pious person's hand. And that day David put on this ephod. And when he prayed, the Urim and Thummim lights up. So that's why in the Bible, a lot of these verses are short. It only says that Urim and Thummim would light up and shine on the letters. That's why David overtook the Ammonites. And representing that he overtook the life of the flesh. So today I'm going to pick out a couple of things that David has done. Let me tell you a story. Oh, it's the story of the Mephibosheth. And this is during the time of Joshua. We talked about this. That Aharia, Rahab, her family was saved. He talked, that represents the beauty of salvation. And how Rahab was a Harriet and now become the forefather of Jesus. And David also has a story to Mephibosheth that shows the story of salvation. Now after Saul died, and his son Jonathan also died, and everyone in Saul's household died, and because everyone hated King Saul, and no one wanted to help out the household of Saul, only David. And only David is faithful enough to seek for the household of Saul and want to help them. And Mephibosheth is the grandson of Saul, and he was a pitiful young man. He did not want to say that he is the offspring of Saul, because all the Israelites hated Saul. And more than that, he is a crippled, and he did not know how to walk. And how pitiful in this young man. But after David found Mephibosheth, and when David sat at his dining table, not even his own sons and daughter is worthy to sit at the same table, but he asked Mephibosheth to sit with him so that he would share all the food of a king with this man. And he treats Mephibosheth better than his own son. Now, Mephibosheth is a sinner like us. And not only that, he is also a cripple. But yet, he gets to sit in the same table with David. And he hides his two legs underneath the table. And as he were, he get to share the same meal with the king. And this is the beauty of salvation. That mentions that how we are sinners, after we are saved, and how we are still just a cripple. So many things that we are still so short. But the blood now covers us. And the great the salvation is that we get to enjoy God Himself. That we get to enjoy this greatest feast of all. Now with this, we should be satisfied as the children of God. We should truly be satisfied. Now, we should be, because of this, we should be willing to give up everything on earth. Because with God, we can already be overfilled. Now, I've met many brothers and sisters. The brother that we briefly mentioned about in Vancouver. He did not know a thing before. But at that time, the Spirit chose him and came to him. And how he became so filled with joy. How did he yell? He would sing and yell and he would move his arm. And he said, "Oh Lord, don't play this joke on me." So that's why I took him to the side. And until nighttime, eight of us share a room. And he thought that he has finished the experience with the Spirit. But at night time he prayed. And then the Spirit came upon him again. And the power of the Spirit is as strong as the last time. And now he's filled with the Spirit again. And then he said, "I can't be like this." And he said, "Lord, please stop. Don't play this joke on me." And then slowly explained to him that God is not making a joke. But in fact, you are greatly touched. And at that moment, that brother changed. Now, brothers and sisters, as children of God, we have to manifest this glory. That when we live our daily living, we are a testimony. How do we show that our God is precious? Is that you would manifest and reveal Him. That you could show Him and make the people around you jealous. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, are you a testimony? So I tell you, let's be a testimony. That I am a testimony. And when I see the greatness of God, and when I see myself, I need to change. I need to change. Right? Now, I have six children. And one time, a daughter came home. And then she got into an argument with her husband. And then I asked her one thing. And I told her that I have never gotten into an argument with my wife. And then when I said this to my daughter, she knew that me and my wife never got into a fight. And she said, "You are a great example." Now, I don't want to get into a fight either. And then I, in fact, had a great temper. I used to have a great temper, but Jesus changed me. That it is through the power of Christ that I will not get in a fight. Because I want to use my daily living to be a testimony. So that's why when we spread the gospel, it's not only by words. But the gospel is spread through our living. Now when Jesus was on this earth, he only had 120 followers. And quickly it became thousands. And then even after Paul, the number got even greater. And after a couple of decades, now the gospel came to Asia and Europe. And today, how many Christians there are in this world? And I tell you, it is not through the words of the ministers, but it is through the testimony of brothers and sisters. So how about we all reveal Christ through us? And I tell you that the power of the testimony is way greater than the power of words. So God gave David this noble life. So that's why the last thing that David did. And now he has this great country. He has all these great people. And then now there is a word inside of Israel. And that says there is no one before David. And there is no one like David after David. And David is unique. And but David has this one will that he wants to build a temple for God. And then today we're going to skip over how David brought the Ark of Covenant back. We ran out of time. But there's one more talk. Next time we'll condense it and spread it. So next time we're going to talk about the Ark of Covenant. Now the Ark of Covenant is a symbol of Christ is the head of church. Not only is David a king, a priest, but he's also a prophet, a great prophet. Until chapter 3 of Acts. And when Peter stood up and the first time he proclaimed God, and he used the Psalms of David, and he says, I saw the Lord always in my presence, and that with him I will be full of joy, that my heart was glad and my tongue exulted, and my flesh will also live in hope, and you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And that meant that it describes God's resurrection. And Peter said, David is a prophet. And how David could foresee the resurrection of Christ. And David was a great prophet indeed. So that's why the Ark of Covenant is a symbol of how Christ is the head of church. So when David received this Ark, David was filled with joy. Because it's more than just an ark to David, but it is the glorious God himself, the resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, the head of the church. So at that time, David took off all his clothes and started dancing with all his might. So that's why one of his wife, Mika, belittled him and despised him and said, you are the king. Why would you dance without clothes shamelessly? And David said, today I dance before the Lord. And in front of him, I am a shameless, humble man. And from that day on, David is no longer close to that wife. Now, even in David's time as a prophet, he already foresaw Christ. And he says, I dwell in a house of Caesar, but the Ark of God dwells within tents. And that's why David wants to build a temple. Now, in the original language, temple and house is the same word. God's temple is God's house. Now then, the prophet Nathan gave him God's word and said, God does not want David to build his temple. In the Bible, it says house. But house and temple is the same word. And David wants to build the temple for God.
神说,
but the Lord says, you cannot build my house.
我要为你建立家室,
but I will make a house for you.
那么为什么不许大卫建造家呢?
So why doesn't God want David to build him a house?
神说你流血太多,
because the Lord says you have shed too much blood.
不能为我造圣殿,
you have shed too much blood to build a temple.
我是大卫,
if I was David, I would argue.
我征战,
and I would argue and say, I go into the battles for you.
我战胜是你叫我得胜的,
that I shed the blood for you.
战胜了不能不流血的,
now, blood must be shed in every battle.
但我打败了你更不愉快了,
and now I overcome my enemies, and how 我的, you're not happy.
我的胜利了,
and I become victorious, yet you don't let me build a house.
但幸亏我不是大卫啊,
but it's a good thing that I am not David.
大卫太伟大了,
because David is great.
一句话都没有,
David did not argue.
献上了伟大的祷告和赞美,
but in fact, he returned with a great prayer. And David said, even though I cannot build the house myself, I will do things to prepare for this house. So David started preparing for the building. He would hide in the back and prepare for this house. Now, do you know what David has done? He did three things. The first thing, he made blueprints for this temple. Now the temple is big, huge with many rooms. And each corner, even down to the smallest corner, is on the blueprints of David. And of course, David received this through a revelation from God. But David finished drawing the blueprints. The second thing, David prepared all the raw material for the temple. Gold, silver, iron, copper. He prepared it all. Now the gold and silver are from the spoils that David overtook. And he separated for this house. He saved it for the temple. And he there are big pieces of wood that need to build. The cedar wood. Now this wood, they cannot be found in Israel. It is from a far place. Now we no longer have this wood. It is a precious wood. It has to be chopped down from a tall mountain. And it has to be prepared just the right way. And David got all this wood and be prepared. And it needs precious stones. Now the temple is made by many precious stones. From the big pieces that establish the corner. And it takes a lot of effort to bring these stones from the mountain. He made together the soil. He put together the raw material. And the third thing is David prepared all the workers. Workers and slaves. Craftsmen who can make a temple. Now the blueprints, the material, and the craftsmen are now all prepared. But yet he cannot build it himself. So that his son Solomon finally built his temple. Now how great is David? Now are you willing to hide in the back? If God asks me, tells me that I cannot build the temple, I will just completely leave it alone. Now you will not even do a thing for it. But David did not argue. And moreover, he prepares in the back. He prepares, but no one sees him. That he built this temple without building it. And he prepared the material. He prepared the soil. And he prepared all the craftsmen. Yet he cannot build this temple. And until Solomon, he just picked up something that is already ready. So, and that's why everyone wanted to be Solomon. And in the Bible, it proclaims that the temple is built by Solomon. But in fact, David already built it. Because everything was prepared by David. Now you see the greatness of David. So that's why David is the greatest person in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the first chapter of Matthew, the first verse is David's name. In Chinese, it says Abraham, but the Chinese version is wrong. In the original language, it's David's son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is from the descendants of David, from the life of David, from the path of David. And the Lord, when he worked on this work, he is a descendant of David. Because he is the true king. He is the king of kings. He is the kings of countries. And Jesus is the King of Ages. And at the end, in Revelation, in Revelation chapter
22,
and at the end, Jesus said this, and the Lord said, that I am the root, and the descendants of David, the bright morning star. And at the end of the Bible, it mentioned David again. And how great is David? Now, we don't want to be David because of his talents. Because even if we're jealous, we can't do nothing about it. But we envy his spiritual life, his spiritual experience. And it is through those experiences and life that we have an example. That he has now saved a pathway for us to walk in. So how about we walk this same path and return to our home? Today we walk this path. And how many people has already walked this path before us? In Hebrews chapter 11, that these people has received an assurance and a conviction. But yet, they are still waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for us. Because God has prepared us a better thing. These better things that is waiting for us to partake. But yet, we have to walk this path. Now, I think I'm a little older than you. I will probably go before you. But yet, I tell you, I'm not afraid of death. Through death, we go to a better place. If I die first, I will not lose nothing. If you die later, doesn't matter, it's better. When we rise again, we rise together. Now, if I go first, I wait for you. If you go first, you wait for me. Because we share the same heavenly home. When the second coming
of God.
Now, David is a great prophecy of Jesus to come. A great testimony. So today, let's encourage each other. Let's walk on this same path. Let's have the same goal. When we walk this world, let's share the same commission. So we could go back to the same home. Because we hold on to the same assurance. That our spirit is our assurance. God's eternal life is our conviction. So how about we go home and we manifest? Let's sing songs.